May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I was at the drugstore last week buying Advil, when through those tinny overhead speakers, I heard a song telling me that it was the most wonderful time of the year, which I cannot say made my headache better. When I hear that song, I always have a few follow-up questions I want to ask the singer, like, has he been to the Natick Mall on a Saturday in December? Or has he ever driven in snow? And yet, I am not such a Grinch that I can't get into just a little bit of the Christmas spirit. I felt a glimmer of it yesterday, gathering greens for Advent wreaths and clearing a space for my tree. And I know I'll feel it an hour from now when I'm sitting right out here watching auditions for the St. Andrew's Christmas pageant. By the end of today, we'll have a Mary and a Joseph and a whole field full of shepherds and a choir of angels. One lucky person will get to play the donkey's butt. We'll have a cast of thousands all coming together a few weeks from now to bring us glad tidings of great joy. And the story that will soon be told in our Christmas pageant is the Advent story that most of us know. But it is not the only story of the coming of the Son of Man. And today we begin the season of Advent with a very different vision. The second coming of Christ, which we are warned, is not going to be as child-friendly as the first. The passage we hear today is sometimes called the Little Apocalypse, and we read it not just in Mark, but also in Luke and Matthew. And it's not a particularly welcome passage during this time of year when we would rather hear about the journey to Bethlehem. And yet every year we hear this story on the first Sunday of Advent. Most of us think of Advent as a lead up to Christmas. And this vision of the stars falling and the sun getting blacked out doesn't feel very Christmassy at all. But then I think about the Christmas memories in my life. And frankly, some of them are more Christmassy than others. There have been the years of the wonderful family gatherings where everybody was fighting to hold the new baby. And there was also the year my grandmother died on December 21st. And we all got together around the tree and tried to pretend we were still having a good time. There was Christmas during my first year of graduate school where I said over and over to every member of my extended family, "It's pretty amazing. Harvard really does look like the movies." But I couldn't have predicted that a few years before when I spent Christmas saying to the same people, "It's really okay. I'm sure I'll find another job soon." Our love is tangled up with loss, and our hopes with our fears and disappointments. And as with Advent, so with life. I think what bothers me about all the language around the most wonderful time of the year is the pressure it puts on us to make everything wonderful. And sometimes, some years, some seasons, everything is wonderful. And sometimes Advent and Christmas find us in a place where our loved ones are healthy and our finances are stable and our faith is strong. And that's a beautiful thing. Sometimes Christmas comes along when it feels like the sun is being blacked out. And into our lives, into the beautiful soaring architecture or the smoldering wreck or both, Jesus comes. And Jesus comes into the world and into our world and our hearts, no matter what's happening there. And he finds a way to reach each of us, whether Advent this year is a season of contentment and joy, or loneliness or exhaustion. And he will seek to shine a light in the dark places in each of our lives if we let him. Because if you truly open your heart, the love of Jesus Christ can transform you. It can lift away the thickest, oldest layers of resentment and hurt and shame. It can help you break old patterns that aren't working anymore. It can make your sins, the big and the small, disappear. And this itself can feel like an apocalypse, the same way it feels when you turn on a bright light in a dark room. We need that light, but that doesn't mean that it won't burn our eyes. Jesus comes into this beautiful and horrible and broken world to restore us and to give us back the perfect relationship with God that we were always meant to have, that we were built for. So the question as we enter into the mystery of the season of Advent is not, how can we make everything wonderful? But instead, how can we prepare our hearts for the coming of Jesus Christ? Which in one way is a much bigger challenge, but in another takes the pressure off of us. Because God already knows whether or not this time of year is wonderful for you. And Jesus shares with you in the joy of your loves and your realized hopes and the pain of your losses. And the love and hope and promise of Christ coming into the world under impossible circumstances will never desert us, whether we enter into this Advent with wonder or with dread. So take heart. As the days grow shorter and darker and the birth of the Savior comes near, prepare your heart for everything Jesus promises you. And get ready to open your spirit to the most timeless promise ever made in any language. A child will be born to us, a son given to us, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen.
Amen.